Marhaba, and welcome to the Matrix Green Pill, where real people connect.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Matrix Green Pill podcast. My name is Melvin Abraham, and joining me today is the dynamic and beautiful Hilmary.
Wow, what an introduction. Thank you, Mel. And I'm so happy to be doing another podcast with you today. Our guest today is Sarah Tabbitt. She is an advocate for diversity and inclusion. She's a frequent speaker at regional and local conferences on the topic of diversity and inclusion. And she has recently published her very first book called Inclusion Starts With You. This is a really important topic, and I am so looking forward to discussing this with Sarah.
Sarah, welcome. It's lovely to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Mel. Thank you, Hilmary, for hosting me. Great. It's a pleasure to be here today with you.
Let's jump right in. Can you please introduce yourself and give us a recap on your background and how you ended up here in the UAE?
Absolutely. So I've been working in HR originally for the past almost 15 years. I've started my career in multinationals in Lebanon, Beirut, Lebanon, as I am originally Lebanese, born and raised in Lebanon. And I worked in some of the multinationals where I had the pleasure to grow in the HR field, doing different roles across HR. And then in 2017, I joined the Schneider Electric as the HR director for the region. And I moved to the UAE, where I also started my working in the space of diversity and inclusion, I would say. So a few years back, multinationals, as you might know, have started their journey of investigating or investing in what we call diversity and inclusion today, gender balance, talking about topics that many, many people, not only corporate employees, can relate to, but really topic that everybody individually, socially, and on the corporate level understand and can relate and resonate to. So in Schneider, I led the role of Diversity and Inclusion Ambassador for Middle East and Africa, working with the global team on basically facilitating a lot of the initiatives in this region, improving our diversity and inclusion, I would say, targets and KPIs. And mostly for me, it was a win-win situation because for me, it was really about learning what diversity and inclusion is and investing not and understanding that actually I have a personal story that I could resonate to and relate to what we call D&I. So I started speaking about how important diversity and inclusion is in forums. I wrote a lot of articles, created my blog, and here I am, a new initiative also in this space.
My goodness, you've certainly done a lot already.
That's something that's got me interested here is I'd like to go back to the start, right? So let's jump into your HR career. What was it about the profession that first appealed to you that made you say that, hey, you know, this is the line that I want to be in?
Excellent question, Mel. Well, to be honest, it's a bit of a weird story because my educational background has never been HR. I graduated in finance. But then being a person... It's a weird combination, but at the time, really, it related a lot of things that I've done in my past around leading teams and wanting to be in a place where I can solve problems. And HR is exactly that place where you have the chance to interact with people, to listen to them, and mostly solve problems that could impact the way that they do their jobs, not only to deliver results, but also to feel engaged, happy, motivated to come to work and basically feel they're connected to the organization. That was the main motivator for me and incentives to be in this function.
Apart from this, you also do some executive coaching in different parts of the world. Tell us a bit more about that.
Growing in the HR function, of course, some people move from step by step from being operational to more strategic to connecting with people and all of that. And not only as part of my role, but I have been accredited as an executive coach recently to help professionals in developing. So a lot of people I meet and encounter feel that they need support sometimes to realize their strengths, to understand where they, how and where they can improve. So I felt this is something that really incentivized me every day when I talk to people or support them in really leveraging their strength and being at their best. So this is what I do. I've learned a lot because, of course, being in Dubai and working globally with Schneider, I meet diverse nationalities, different cultures, different backgrounds, and even when coaching someone, it's super important that you also take that into account and you learn a lot about the people that you work with and how you can help them.
And as you mentioned, it is certainly a very important topic and something that is very important. But why did you personally feel it was important for you to be a global advocate for this?
When we talk about diversity and inclusion, the topic really, as I mentioned before, I can go back to a little bit of the story that I've written, is really about how at a point in time in my life, I've realized that a lot of people, similarly to me, are pressured to be or to follow social pressures and to be part of a social frame that a society, your community, your family puts on you. At a point in time, I realized that pressure can really kill what's innovative and creative in every person. And sometimes it really impacts your well-being and health and the way that you operate and also thrive. So this is when I realized that actually what I want to do is, and what I have done, is challenge that social pressure and decided to be who I want to be, what makes me happy. And I realized that that is what we call inclusion. That's the funny story that I actually can relate to when I started working in diversity and inclusion. And I said, well, whatever people have been saying, or the term inclusion is really about respecting people and giving them that space, the psychological safety to be who they want to be without judgment nor fear of exclusion. This is where I felt that, you know what, this story relates to me. I had the courage to step up and say, you know, I'm going to leverage on my uniqueness. I am different and I'm okay with being different and wanting different things. But then there are a lot of people who cannot get out of that and they need support. And we need a society that is inclusive. So this is where I started to advocate for that and call for a world that is inclusive, that accepts others for whoever they are.
That's really amazing.
Yeah, because there is certainly a lot of pressure to conform to the standards that others set for us.
Absolutely.
Being an advocate was just the beginning for you, as I understand it, because you went ahead and decided to write a book called Inclusion Starts With You. So what was the inspiration behind it?
After starting to speak in forums and talk more about this topic, I realized that actually, because of the word or the term has been overused so many times, corporate have started to use it as a, I would say, tick in the box sometimes, as an employer branding focus. I realized that the term has lost its meaning. And many people thought at the point in time that actually when you say diversity and inclusion or the term inclusion, it means that it's about really bringing more women on the board or having different nationalities in the organization or picking some of these boxes, as I said, that do not really create a deep change in our behavior, our mind, and making us inclusive, not only leaders, but inclusive individuals. And this is where I decided to write the book, Inclusion Starts With You, in 2020, to clarify that the topic really is super important and it relates to each and every one of us because it's about feeling inclusive. And feeling inclusive is about being respected, feeling safe to raise your hand and say, you know, this is what I want, this is who I am, regardless of your differences, and feeling safe that whoever you're talking to or in front of you is going to respect you for who you are. It's really a topic that relates to everyone. And this is where I felt I need to really work and clarify the message and call to spread a culture of inclusion to all diversities.
That's quite interesting. So if you could condense the book down for us, so if you had to explain it in a sentence or two, what would your book's elevator pitch be?
Good question. So for me, diversity and inclusion really encourage you to join the conversation by helping you, regardless of who you are, realize the term of diversity and inclusion in the corporate world and beyond, and would help create a world that values differences and encourages a form of diversity.
That's fairly simple. Is the book as simple as it sounds?
It is simple. And that's the feedback that I always get, Mel. And the funny thing is, I really wanted to write a book that everyone can read and understand. And it's like a tips and tricks around how to be an inclusive person. Most of the book is focused on, first, I share my personal story around how I got to know about diversity and inclusion. And as you asked, what kind of triggered you to go into this space? So I do write about this. And then it's about some of the stories that I have encountered in my HR professional life that could help other individuals become inclusive, tips and tricks. It's a topic that relates to everyone, as I said, individuals who have changed the world in their own way. It doesn't have to be a corporate that has millions of dollars of investment behind it. It's really a topic that relates to each and every one of us. And that's why I said inclusion starts with you. each and every one of you.
I'd just like to come back to what you were saying earlier about sometimes it feels like the term has lost its meaning, that in some organizations, it's almost like just a formality to tick the box with no real change at grassroots level. So what would you say are the biggest obstacles for organizations in terms of diversity and inclusion?
I think today we are still at the level of awareness. So many organizations think it's a trendy thing to invest in diversity and inclusion. They create some roles. I see a lot on LinkedIn, companies creating new roles on diversity and inclusion. But then they realize, okay, so we have the role, we've invested in hiring more women, we've invested in hiring diverse nationalities. But then what? But then what? How can we move past diversity into the inclusive culture? And this is the biggest challenge. It's really about understanding how to impact the culture. At the end of the day, it's change management, and change management takes time. And when you talk about change management, it's not a process that you can change. So it's really about creating awareness of how our mind operates as humans, which impacts the way we judge, the way we take decisions, the way we behave when hiring, when speaking to people, when taking decisions around their potential and performance, and then moving beyond that to become really inclusive. So challenging our biases and stereotypes, which are deeply integrated within our, not only our processes, but also our human nature. So this is what I feel is the biggest challenge. So it's really becoming not only tolerant of diversity, but moving from being diverse into becoming an inclusive culture.
Okay. And you say that we're right now in the awareness stage. What are the other stages going ahead?
Awareness is one thing, and you can do it as the first step, and you can create that awareness by delivering trainings, workshops, and we do that a lot. And I personally do it not only within Schneider, but I do it also with a lot of other organizations that ask me to move into that. But then the second step is really about implementation and looking into three things that I've talked about in the book. So it's about PBM, policies, behaviors, and mindset. The minute that you start changing the way that you operate by improving significantly your policies, the language of your policies, the way that it's formulated, how does it consider people and circumstances, that would be the first step. And then it will be around checking and testing and assessing the change in mindset and behavior that reflects the way that we talk to each other, the way that we, as I said, develop, and the way that we hire within organizations. Or if it's society and community, it's really about being able to be yourself. So it's not only about being aware, but moving into a deeper conversation around accepting and respecting others. So it's really about implementation.
How important is it? Because you speak about this being a long-term plan. This is not something that happens overnight. It takes a whole mind shift change. How important is it that this is a top-down change?
It's important at all levels, but you cannot get results if there's no buy-in from the top. As I said, my intention is to explain to people that actually it doesn't have to be the CEO who speaks only about it and then you wait until people tell you what you need to do. It's not a top-down approach. The thing is, each and every one of us has a role to play. And this is why my book was intended for leaders across all levels, leaders, individuals, anywhere in, you know, whatever your space is, whatever you can influence, you have a role to play. It's about how you see things and how you interpret things in your mind, how you speak and how you raise your family. It's really a topic that is very wide and can touch each and every one of us in their respective lives. But if you're talking about corporate, you have a role to play. But if you don't feel there is a support from the top and buy-in from the top, then definitely it's not going to work. And I can give you an example. If we think about policies, the language is used, okay, how they're formulated. So great. If you decide as an HR professional or you're hiring manager, business leader, whatever, to change that job description, then you can do it. There are things that you cannot control or influence, and you need the buy-in from the top. You need a lot of leaders to also sign off on a change in policy or change in process. So that's where you need the buy-in from the top. But it starts with you looking at whatever process that you influence and start the change with that.
I like that. So no one can say, well, I'm not involved in this. It every single person has a role to play in making this change happen.
Absolutely.
Let me just look at this moving away from the corporate setup and look at the city we are in, okay? A city of Dubai, it's extremely diverse, it's a multicultural hub, but yet there are sometimes you see people, they feel discriminated against. It could be either based on where they're from or what their beliefs are. What do you believe is the first step of tackling that individually or even as a society?
I go back to awareness. Honestly, it's not rocket science, Mel, and it's not something that you can do in a minute. It's not a magic wand that you can use for people to become non-discriminative or not racist in some occasions, unfortunately. And yes, you're right. In Dubai, it's a great melting pot of expats. At the end, sometimes you feel people discriminating or taking decisions around the potential and performance of people or what they can do or they cannot do based on their nationality and where they're coming from. I can give you an example of some of the changes that I have done within my space that are non-corporate related. Now, every time I could give you an example about my friends and family. And when I wrote the book, of course, I mean, the book has been provided across, especially in the UAE, it's available in Borders and people have access to it. So a lot of people have changed the way that they comment. We usually stereotype and we say, okay, you know, by nature, Indians are excellent in math and, you know, they have a great logic. They're known for being great in mathematics and, I don't know, engineering. For example, people from the Philippines are great in hospitality. And these are stereotypes that we've created based on, you know, people's experiences or the way that we have been raised and born and raised. And reality is, with this book, I've seen a lot of people change that perception and say, okay, you know what? How can I look at someone beyond their nationality and be curious about who they are, where they come from, what is their strength, without me making judgments around people based on where they're coming from or their nationalities? So curiosity is something that I always tell people to start with. It's a human nature that we do these things because this is how our mind operates. But the fact that we understand that we're only saying that this person is good because he is from that nationality, we understand that this is a stereotype. This is where we can stop ourselves and ask ourselves, why am I saying this? Is this based on a fact or is it based on assumption? Is it based on how my mind is operating and creating biases? Or let me instead ask the person, check, be curious about him, and then decide or make decisions accordingly. So these are the things that we kind of push in D&I space. It's not about only what, who to hire, but it's also about judging people the minute we see them.
You're saying basically not to treat people as a number or a statistic that belongs to a particular group, but look at them as an individual.
Absolutely. And as I said, this is our human nature, but it doesn't mean that we cannot change it. It doesn't mean that we cannot be unbiased. What it takes is awareness and challenging ourselves in the way that we see and think and operate.
It's lovely to hear that you mentioned that you can already see an impact. You can already see almost that people are behaving or commenting sometimes in a different way, which is very, very positive. So you've already done so much. You've written a book, which is brilliant. What is next for you? Do you have anything else that you can talk about?
Many people ask me, so when is the next book or when are you going to start writing, you know, your next story? But for me, one thing that I have learned in this journey and in my professional journey is that honestly, sometimes we tend to do things as a tick in the box and say, okay, what do I do next? And reality is we miss opportunities on celebrating what we've spent so much time and effort and energy doing. And for me, I really want to celebrate the book. This book has been written in almost, you know, in 2020 when we had a pandemic and a lot of things were going on. And I realized that when I wanted to celebrate at every opportunity, me completing one chapter or two chapters or 12 chapters, I didn't have that opportunity because there was a lockdown and it was very difficult. So I published the book in November 2020. It's almost, you know, in the market almost 6 months. And I really want to celebrate it. I want to use that. The sky is the limit to promote the message around the NI. And I want to use the book to do that and to promote the message, not only within our region, but really globally. I do have a global role. I sit in Dubai, but I operate globally with China, India, US, France, Mexico. And it's my opportunity to use that and leverage that in promoting the message of diversity and inclusion, and using the book to help people also promote it, help me promote it. So that's what I have in mind.
That's lovely. To just slow down and enjoy the ride and not rush over to the next thing.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely.
You're doing a fantastic job, Sarah. And we are sure you'll continue to inspire those and even change some of them around you. And with that, now we've come to the next segment of our show, where we will ask you a few rapid-fire questions. So are you ready?
Sure.
Okay, so name a book that you think everyone should read besides your own book.
How Women Rise by Sally Helgeson.
Lovely. Name one thing on your bucket list.
TED Talk.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
We'd love to hear you on a TED Talk. Okay, so next question. Who is your favorite author?
I guess also Sally Helgeson. She's a role model for me.
And what is one thing you do every day, no matter how busy you are?
I try to drink a lot of water, honestly, because I know it's a very healthy thing to do.
That it is. Very good. So thank you for playing along with our game show. That was fun. Now, before we wrap up, we would like to do our green pill moment. So the question we'd like to ask you is, what green pill advice would you give to your younger self?
One thing I would tell my younger self is do not be afraid of being different. It took me some time to realize that being different is actually a bless. If I were to go back, I would tell my younger self, embrace your uniqueness, leverage your difference, and don't be scared to be unique. That's it.
That's excellent advice.
Thank you so much, Sarah. And thank you for sharing your fantastic and inspiring story with us today, as well as the excellent tips that you shared. I'm sure our audiences would thoroughly enjoy this conversation as much as we have.
And I'm also sure that a lot of people are going to be so inspired by your book and by listening to this podcast and the advice that you have shared with us today.
Before we say goodbye, Sarah, could you please tell our listeners where they can find you and follow you and where they can find your book? You already mentioned borders, but if there's anything else you would like to add?
I would love people to actually read my book and get more tips and tricks around how to be inclusive people. The book is available on Amazon globally and specifically in India, Amazon India, because it's a different platform. In the UAE, it's available in Borders, in MOE, in Marina Mall and Ibn Battuta. So it's available there. And of course, if they are in Lebanon, it's also in one of the bookstores called Libri Antoine. If they want to reach out to ask any questions or connect, they could do that on my LinkedIn or through my website, www.saratabit.com.
Thank you very much. And thank you again, Sarah, for joining us today. It was an excellent conversation.
Thank you both. It's always a pleasure. And thank you for helping me move the message and the needle on D&I.
Marhaba, and welcome to the Matrix Green Pill, where real people connect.